Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's life-giving word. And for this hour, it is as always my privilege to serve as host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. It is my great blessing to be joined for the start of this year by Brother Paige Tyler, who has become a fixture on this broadcast. He is the embodiment and a devotee in service to others of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for any and all who would take time to work this wonderful program. Brother Paige, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Bradley. It's always a blessing to be here.
Well, it's a joy to have you, Paige. Happy New Year. Under normal conditions, of course, I would offer a homily. But it occurred to me that with the start of the year, it would be helpful to take a full segment to give an overview to the 12 steps. And that will still give us the normal remainder of three segments to address step number one. So, brother, if you would care to give us a sense of what this ministry is about and where you'll be taking us on a monthly basis.
Right. So that's a great idea to go over and just do a review of the entire thing, because this is a new beginning. If you just started listening to us for the first time, then you can begin with us. Those of you who stuck with us through last year, this is a new beginning, a new start, a new chance to open up new avenues for the Spirit of God to move in your life. So I'm going to go over the steps, all 12 of them, as they relate to Christians. So this is 12 steps for Christians. We admit that we are powerless over the effect of our separation from God, that our lives had become unmanageable. And scripture reference for that is that I know nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Now, I have reworded this step for myself. And for me, I word this step as I admit I am powerless over my sinful nature. It has created a separation between me and God, and that has made my life become unmanageable. And that's the foundation. This is the reason why I can do this program over and over again, is because I haven't gotten perfect yet. And when I do, I'll make sure I tell everybody. But I haven't gotten it perfect yet. So since I now look at my separation from God being my sin and my sin nature, and that's what's causing the unmanageability in my life, then now this program can go on for the rest of my life as I continue to wrestle with sin.
Well, brother, if I may, it strikes me that one of the great privileges and challenges of this work is that when we start out humble, and as we make progress, we grow and mature, but humility and maturity will now work hand in hand, won't they?
Exactly.
You will not be able to sever them.
You can't sever them.
I mean, pride can't be the product of your maturation.
Exactly.
If anything, you'll grow more humble.
In fact, pride will destroy you in this endeavor. You have to always be humble, always realizing that it is God who is doing the work. It's not me. I haven't accomplished a thing. Everything that's being done here is being done through the power of God, through his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he leads us on to step two. I'll bring us back, Bradley, because we digress, you know.
It's an occupational hazard, Paige.
Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose, Philippians 2:13. So step two, I came to believe. Step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. So I'm going to shorten steps one, two, and three for you real simple. I can't, he can. Step three, I might as well let him. Therefore, brothers, I urge you, Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's Romans 12:1. And step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let's examine our ways, test them, and let us return to the Lord. We now begin the process of transformation. The Bible promises us transformation, and how to transform our lives is there, visible in the Bible. The steps extract that information out for us, that we can see how to the process of transformation, and we can go about it in an organized way. And step four is the beginning of transformation. Step five, admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. James 5:16a. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, as all the defects of character that you found in yourself in step four and five. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is now, as you see, humility is becoming a key ingredient here, as we reach the middle of the program. Step seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Then step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And in this step, we only become willing. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. Step nine, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others. Therefore, brothers, if you are offering your gifts at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5:23-24. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And the scripture reference for that one is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So basically, by now you have started to live a transformed life. The transformation process is taking hold. And now, having appropriated the Spirit of God, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Galatians 6:1. So those are the 12 steps.
Well, that will also...
Go ahead.
That will entail, that last warning, it speaks to pride, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You're going to chastise. And so we've completely defeated the entirety of the program, if that's been the end result.
You notice how it says, restore him gently. You know, I've seen brothers, you know, I'm going to take the Bible, and they're going to go over to this other brother who we all know is in sin, and they begin to beat them with the Bible. You know, the Bible bullies. And that is not what, that is not biblical. It says restore him gently and be careful. Careful, A, you don't fall, and B, that you are not tempted.
Yeah, those Bible bullies are the bane of our existence. You know, they really are. I mean, they whatever their intentions, the effect is problematic, to put it mildly. But Paige, what strikes me, and we have about 1 minute remaining in this segment, what I love about this program is I listen to the 12 steps articulated. God gives to me responsibility, but he carries, if you will, the burden. I don't have to carry the burden, but I do have to perform and engage responsibly. I think that would be a fair assessment, at least from one angle.
That is a fair assessment. In other words, he's given us, if you submit yourself up there in step three to his will in your life, he'll take up your cross and bear it. He's only asking you to take up his.
Yeah.
You have the responsibility yourself. You're not left not doing anything, and Christ is doing all the work. This is not a football game.
And brother, what I have learned over 46 years in Christ and over 33 years now in ministry, that when one assumes those responsibilities that are applicable to the Christian life, with time, with maturation, with the sustaining presence of humility, such responsibility becomes a privilege. And I've come to view my Christian life and my Christian ministry as a consummate privilege that brings joy. And I praise God for that, and I know you feel the same. But Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we will pick up more thoroughly with step one in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning for a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Paige, you have been sharing an overview of the 12-step ministry, but obviously an overview is like a preface or an introduction to a book. It doesn't take the place of reading the entire volume, nor does it take the place of working the steps. And in order to do that, we begin with step one. And I defer to you, dear brother.
Step one, which is the submission step. And it's difficult for, in this culture, for people to accept the step one premise. Because what the step one premise says is, I am powerless. And we, by our nature and everything we've been taught in this society, we try to overpower our adversaries, our foes, anything that comes against us, even our illness, we try to overpower. And that's what we've been taught, and that's our nature. But here we're confronted with a part of our personality that we can neither overpower nor overcome, and that is our sin nature. Does not matter if that sin nature of yours manifests itself in the form of alcoholism, drug addiction, sex promiscuity, overeating, overworking, over control of other individuals. It doesn't matter what your proclivity is. The matter is that you have it. And it's the same thing that we all have. It is some form of sin. It is either a form of self-absorption, which is self-idolatry, or self-absorption, which is, you know, external idolatry, idolizing something else, or idolizing something or somebody else. Either way, we end up in the same mess. We are unable, with any forcible strength, sustain an assault against our sin nature.
Well, brother, if I may, you and I go back, and we were just talking about this when we were recently together, the glory days of the NBA when the Celtics and the Sixers went head-to-head. Those were magnificent times. But they were head-to-head against external foes, and sometimes the Sixers won and sometimes the Celtics won. But you would know as well as I, perhaps even more, what happens when you see somebody fighting within himself? It's pathetic.
It's
terribly sad. You can't fight yourself. It's like a house divided. And so your sin nature is who you are until someone from outside, external to you, can take you on. Thankfully, the Lord God Almighty has done that out of love for us.
Right. If any one of us could have overcome sin of our own volition, then All we needed was Adam and Eve, a male and a female, who could overcome sin on their own volition, then Christ wouldn't have had to do what he did. God would have just been able to get rid of everybody else but those two and start the world all over again.
Or even with Adam and Eve, if they decided, well, we can't master ourselves, but we'll have a child, and that child will be our hope. That child is in possession of what traditionally we've called original sin.
Right.
It's built into the system of humankind now by virtue of our fallenness.
Exactly.
So we've got to look beyond ourselves.
Right. You know, no one ever gave me a course in lying.
Yeah.
No one ever gave me a course in stealing, cheating, or manipulating my way around somebody to get my way. No one ever taught me those things. I knew them automatically. I don't know when
instinctive and ingrained, yes.
Yep, they were there. However, I must be constantly reminded to be kind to other people. I must be constantly reminded to love my neighbor and to love my enemy. I must constantly be reminded to do the good things that God has told us to do. And I easily do all the things that God has advised us not to do. This is the sin nature. This is where we find ourselves in step one, powerless. And we have tried a bazillion ways to control our own sin nature. And people more powerful and with far more years of experience than us have tried to overcome their sin nature and have only failed. We love to tear down the ministers who have built up strong ministries and then succumbed to some sinful proclivity, like either sexual or greediness or whatever. We love to do that, ignoring our own child, because it takes the focus off of us. We don't have to look at our own sin when we see that other person's sin so readily. But looking in the mirror is a lot harder now, isn't it?
My experience has been, for far too many people, it is so brutal that it's not done. You know, it's frightening. It's just, I look in the mirror and I see a lack of hair. I see caves under my eyes. If I look a little more closely, I see what still needs to be done on the part of the Holy Spirit. And that's not easy for me, who has been invested in this life for so many years. For someone who hasn't had that investment or that foundation, it can be devastating.
Totally devastating.
But all the more, loving men like yourself to come alongside of them is just what the doctor, and by doctor I mean the Almighty, has issued.
Right, and has given us a program that is organized in such a way that we can walk through this problem. God never intended us to be here, but he's given us a way out. There's a way out of the darkness. There's a way. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it is not a fast-moving train. That light is the light of the Lord. The Lord Jesus has shined into this dark world, and the world has recognized it not. But those of us who have begun this journey begin to see that light, and when we're at step one, it seems like a very dim light way off in the distance. But we know for sure that as we proceed through this progression of the 12 steps, that we will be able to unlock the glorious love that Jesus Christ poured out on us at Mount Calvary, the love of his salvation.
You know, we were talking in Bible class earlier, drawing upon the notion that God wants to be in relationship with us, a relationship that for him will be a joyful one, instinctively, one that for us perhaps will require time to get to that joyful moment. But that being said, I hearkened back to the book of Genesis in the immediate aftermath of Adam and Eve and their fall from grace and their act of disobedience. And we read in the story of the garden, and I think we have to get the verbal tones of Scripture. We miss them often. God cries out as he's walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I love how Scripture puts that. He cries out, "Where are you, O man?" And what that told me was that he was looking for us. And therefore, he has never abandoned us. He's still looking for us. He's still calling out to us. He's still extending his arm to us. And we in our brokenness, he will pick us up and he will carry us and he will commence a work of healing and of restoration that can defy human imagination. But Brother Tyler, we understand that we need to pick up on that which will defy the imagination on the other end of the break. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Tyler and I are taking a look at step one of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for any and all who would access the program to receive the help that it inherently offers. And Brother, you were talking about the light of God's face, and I happen to be reading from Psalm 44 earlier today, and if you'll allow me these few verses. Psalm 44 begins, O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. God takes delight in the broken, and he takes delight in the helpless. And if you've come to step one, you've recognized and begun to reckon with your brokenness and your helplessness, and God loves you for it.
Exactly. And the beauty of step one is this hallmark word is powerlessness. And we think of powerlessness as, oh my God, I'm powerless. But it's actually a beautiful thing because it's no longer a matter of my willpower anymore. Once I become powerless and I can't do anything about it, it's no longer my willpower anymore. It's no longer how do I correct this problem. And many of people out there listening to us today may well have been wrestling with something for maybe their whole lives, and they're still asking the question, how do I correct this problem? And it's no longer, what am I doing wrong? Because I know that's what I used to think. Oh, my goodness, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong again? How did I end up back here again doing this again when I know I don't want to do it? And those are not the questions that you have to ask anymore. Not if you're going to be powerless, if it's no longer your power. You now have to find a power greater than yourself. Something bigger and badder than you.
Well, let me put it this way, brother. Last night, I was removing the 12-foot Christmas tree from our church building. A very sad moment. You know how beautiful that tree was.
Yeah, it was a beautiful tree, but it was bigger and badder.
Yeah, to get it up and to take it down was no mean, easy feat. But, of course, when you drag it out of the building, it leaves a ton of needles on the rug. And I'm working with my normal Dyson vacuum cleaner, and it's doing its part, but it's not getting everything, and the vacuum cleaner keeps breaking down because those needles get obstructive. Well, a little later, our dear brother Dennis sees what's going on. He says, why didn't you call me? I would have brought my shop vac over. Those things are high-powered suctioneers. And so now I'm waiting on that, but I had to get out of the way with my rather tepid, limp vacuum cleaner and make way for the big boy, right?
Yep.
You and I need to get out of the way and make room for the big boy, if you will, God Almighty, who is our loving and heavenly Father.
Allow God to enter into our lives by letting down our defense mechanisms and finding a power greater than ourselves and then turning our will over to that power. Right now here in step one, all we're asked to do is step down off the throne. Admit that we are not God.
But let me ask you, Paige, a question. Many people who find themselves in this place, my impression, my observation, is that in large measure or to whatever degree, They are there because they haven't been able to trust, and they've learned they can't trust themselves.
Right.
How difficult is it for people now to put their trust in God?
Well, most of the people, sadly enough, it would be so great if people didn't have to come to an absolute point of collapse before they would turn their will and their lives over to God. But I and most people like me had to come to a point of absolute collapse, of exhaustion, where I had nothing else. I had tried everything I knew how to do, and I was at a loss, and I was not getting any better at it. It was only in that sense that then I found myself out of exhaustion, unable to go any further, turn to a God and say, God, I can't do this anymore. And that's when God said, okay, I got you right where I want you now.
Well, I love something that the great Carter Conlon out of Times Square Church has said. I'm sure I've quoted it to you and over this broadcast before. He says, even if you feel that you have nothing to give to God, which is an accurate assessment, right? We really have nothing to give to God but ourselves. He doesn't want our money. He doesn't want our talents. He wants us. And Conlon says, even if you have nothing to give him your nothing and wait and see and watch what he does with it. Just as he created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. So if you're broken and you got nothing left to lose, the wonders that he will perform.
Exactly. One of our big problems, our biggest problems is that we got too many bright ideas. Yes. God neither needs nor wants any of our instructions. He's had pretty much enough of them all.
Yeah. if I were him, I'd be so smoking hot that I might be tempted to obliterate it all. Thankfully, he's forbearing, you know. God is patient and kind. He wants none to be removed from repentance.
Right. And this is the chance where now, under this state, in this state of mind, we can now move on into repentance. Because what we've done is we've taken ourselves off the throne, we stepped down, and we said, okay, God, you're number one, you take over. Now, is this going to work in one step? If it could work in one step, God wouldn't have created 12 of them. This is just the very beginning. We are only scratching the surface here in step one. The biblical character that I always like to go to and refer to is the handmaiden of Sarah, Abraham's wife, and Hagar.
Hagar,
right?
Yes.
Yep. Hagar was an Egyptian, and Hagar had absolutely no decision in any of the decisions, no part of any of the decisions that were made on her behalf. She did not decide to go and sleep with Abraham. Sarah decided to have her handmaiden sleep with Abraham. She didn't decide to make herself pregnant by her mistress's husband. Abraham decided to impregnate her, you know?
And we're paying the price for that decision ever since.
They're still fighting. Right. Then Sarah, who made the decision, this is how things work under our power. Sarah, who made the decision for her, then gets pissed off at her and treats her harshly. Poor Hagar, you know, if you read Genesis 16, 1-6, it's like she didn't have any power in this. She was totally powerless. And finally, she runs away from the whole mess. It becomes so terrible for her that she runs away. And goes into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, well, she has nowhere really to go, but she's in the wilderness. Now, I believe she's a pregnant woman in the wilderness. you know, by herself. That's not in the ancient days. It wasn't a very good picture. And she's there by a bush or somewhere like that. I'm not quoting the Bible exactly. But the Spirit of God finds her and asks her, what are you doing? And God tells her to go back to the mess that she just ran away from. But he promises her that he will increase her seed, and they shall be multiplied. This is the same promise that he gave to Isaac and his seed. Sarah's seed still enjoys the blessings of Abraham, even though she was the handmaiden and not the wife. Yeah. And so it is with us. We are in this sin, but we didn't get this sin on our own. We got it without making any decision. You may think you decided to do your first sin, but you didn't. You had a sin nature. You didn't have any choice. You were like Hagar in her situation. You had no choice. You were commanded by your sin nature to do the things that you've done.
Well, brother, you're born into the world. It will be very quickly discerned whether you bear your father or your mother's facial characteristics. A little bit longer, it will be determined whether you take after your mother or your father. And yes, it won't take long at all to learn that you're as much a sinner as they are because of the presence of sin in our lives. But, brother, it would be a sinful thing if we exceeded our time here. We have one more round. Brother Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey, we return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning for a final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Before Brother Tyler and I bring this step one discussion to a head, I would just briefly like to bring to your attention something called Voices of Philadelphia, seeking or speaking God's word to a new generation. And you can turn to voicesofphiladelphia.org. And we are planning to have the entirety of God's word uploaded onto this website for downloading and for listening and for sharing. And we are drawing upon known voices throughout the Philadelphia area, individuals from media and from our pulpits and altars. And we have already uploaded Paul's letter to the Romans. It is read by a leading radio talk show host. We have the Gospel of Mark in the works, read by a classical music on-air host, and so forth down the line. So please, I encourage you to turn to voicesofphiladelphia.org. And I believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God, as read by familiar Philadelphians. Brother Tyler, let's close out step one. Where would you like to pick up?
Okay, I'll pick up right now. And as we conclude with step one, what we're being asked to do is to evaluate just how powerful are we over our problems. How has our constant exerting ourselves against the things of this world, how has that worked for you? For me, I found that it didn't work very well at all. You know, when I did get some minikin of success with it, it almost always came back. And oftentimes it came back with a vengeance. So you need to evaluate how powerful are you really being over your problems. Are you just whack-a-moling them? You know? Flop this one down, the other one comes up, pop another one down, pop, pop. Yet you're not really controlling them. And if you're trying to control something, then guess what? It's already out of control. So if you're trying to control it, it is out of control. So now if you really want it in control and you want it solved forever, then step one says that I have become powerless over the things of my life that should be in God's hands in the first place, and that I have, and that the unmanageability that I'm experiencing is due to that powerlessness that has separated me from God somewhere in my life.
You know, I think of, again, drawing upon the ministry and the preaching of Carter Conlon. Conlon tells the story of having been invited into a leading boardroom, corporate boardroom in New York City, to address leading corporate figures. You're talking some of the most powerful financial and corporate people in the world. And he was brought in to share with them. And halfway through his talk, he said that more than half of those high-powered people broke down into tears. They carried the power and the clout. They exercised it in ways that would defy men such as you and me. And yet it was ultimately meaningless. These men broke down crying like babies because they recognized down deep how broken they were. And I also, Brother Page, you know, you can look at these world figures, but I remember growing up as a boy, I saw things playing out within families where there might be one individual who wanted to wield power over everyone else. All it ever did was destroy lives. So when we try to exercise power on our own behalf, all it's going to do, and you use the imagery without the name, it's going to be like a boomerang. It's going to bounce back at us, and it's going to hurt awfully hard.
Yep, and even when we are benevolent with our attempts to control everything around us, even when we are trying to be the directors and we place everybody in the right place in our minds and everybody's going to say things in the exact right way in our minds, we find that for some reason the players and the actors don't do it exactly the way we want it. And the world goes havoc, even when we're being benevolent dictators.
And then the people may try to submit, but something's going to go awry. I always think of Roger Staubach from the 70s, the great quarterback. He said to the receiver after the play was muffed, and he said with frustration on the sidelines, "Look, I can throw you the ball, but you have to catch it." Something went awry, a.k.a. a cornerback or a safety. So no, the best laid plans of mice and men go awry, to quote the great Bard.
Exactly. And, you know, and quoting the scripture that led us into this step, and that is, I know nothing good lives in me. That is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out.
Yeah. You know, I've often believed that the silliest notion there is that human beings are innately good, because history doesn't show that to be the case. We may have good intentions, and we may be good comparative to other people or to someone else. I mean, I'm good comparative to Adolf Hitler, but I can't boast about being good comparative to Mother Teresa, you know? And we're often as good or as nice as we get what we want. So it's actually a very silly notion. It really is. And one guy may be proclaiming the need for justice in one area, but he's not providing justice in his home or his workplace. It's just a silly notion, and we need to dispense with it as quickly as we can. And as you say, and as the Word of God says, and as I've come to know, look to Him. He's got the high ground. He's got the panoramic view. He knows that of which He speaks.
Yes, and He sees what we don't see. He sees beyond us. If I had any clue that taking this path would have delivered me in such a glorious spot that I am in today, so it's with such a great relationship with my Heavenly Father, such a great relationship with my world around me, and that I would be an active worker in the field for the Lord Jesus Christ. 34 years ago, I'd have been happy just not to be doing the crazy stuff that I was doing. That would have been all I asked for, was just get me out of this one, Lord.
Yeah, I well understand. And, you know, brother, in my life in ministry, I had to go through some rough waters, both with my own fleshly wrestlings and with the fleshly wrestlings of others, to come to a place at which I have a distinct sense that my ministry is proving to be fruitful. It took a long time, and frankly, it wasn't until I just got out of the way and allowed God to have a clear path. I want it all to be to the glory of God, but for it all to be to the glory of God, it has to be God doing it all to his glory in us and through us, and we'll know the blessing. You got about 5 seconds, brother.
And with that, we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, which we will get to. Give God 90 days. Give him the first three steps. If you don't feel like you're made a difference in your life, go back to taking control.
See where you get. Praise God for his grace at work in our lives. Brad Lacy and Brother Paige Tyler will return next week with the great message, and in another month with Brother Tyler and the 12 Steps. God bless.